to give people a chance to come in, so let me go ahead and call the meeting of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board to order. And Stephanie, can you go ahead and take the roll?
Joyce Still.
Here.
Phil Krine.
Here.
Deb Rouche.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Okay. Changes or adaptations to the agenda, I think, I don't see anything in particular because we have most of the things we're interested in old business. I will have some comments that I'll put into my own remarks related to the executive director search, but I think we're okay other than that. So can I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I move.
And a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the agenda stands. At this point, I'd like to go ahead and open the floor to citizen input and public participation. And anyone who'd like to speak, please introduce yourselves and then presentation. We should have plenty of time, so I don't think we'll need to limit anything, but we'll see what happens. So input, please. Okay, seeing no movement from the public, I think we'll assume that there is no citizen input this morning and go on ahead. Champaign County Mental Health Board input. I believe that we have our minutes and a summary in the package. Was there anything that you wanted to add or that Mark wanted to add?
Susan's here also.
And Sue, if you wanted to make any comments? Okay. So we have the written material. Next item on the agenda is the approval of our meeting minutes, which are in your package. Could I have a motion to approve, please?
Second.
Okay. Any edits, changes, discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, any opposed? All right, minutes are passed. At this point, it's time for comments. I've spent a fair amount of time in the last few weeks redrafting the intergovernmental agreement based on, you know, this is the first time this board will have heard it officially. The Mental Health Board had a number of different concerns, which we've attempted to address. I do want to emphasize as we pursue this agreement that we're trying to keep the agreement itself very basic, very bare bones, the general concepts that all of us can agree on. And the agreement as drafted and in your packet allows for a potential separate document that would govern the details of a search. So it's deliberately not trying to put all those details into place. The other thing that I've been working on the last few weeks is really looking at the issues associated with SILA and some of the future developments. There's no question that the state budget issues and other things are increasingly problematic. Many of our agencies, as we all know, have indeed shut down. And many more have scheduled their shutdown here in the next few weeks. The idea of trying to provision any new facilities is kind of a pipe dream right now. It's really a problem, and I think we're trying to see whether there are options in which we can create more public and private partnerships to try and address some of these issues. Since the needs, of course, continue to grow and the abilities to meet those needs continue to decline. It's a very problematic situation. I'm trying to see whether we can, a representative can meet with the Ligas court monitor here when she's in town in May. My understanding is there's actually a meeting this afternoon on the legislative side. I won't be attending that. So we're trying to create these conversations more or less in the background to keep the fires burning You know, it's obvious that there isn't going to be a lot of progress until the state has stepped up to its responsibilities, and that's very problematic. I also wanted to mention, because we had spent a lot of time in our last meeting discussing the search for a new executive director, the Mental Health Board did not actually take any action at their last meeting. We can talk about that, I suppose, in another context, but in any event, the drafting that's been done here is to try and get the Joint Personnel Committee out of the picture and turn it over more immediately to a search committee to help make that process a little bit smoother, and I hope that's acceptable to everybody. But for the moment, we're actually waiting on mutual agreement between the two boards before we're really in a position to proceed. And I want to make sure that it's clear to everybody that begins to increase the time pressure, you know, as we head toward the end of our fiscal year, at the end of June. You know, we don't want to really push much past that kind of a transition point. So trying to work diligently on this at the same time, both boards have to come to an agreement, and we have to allow that to run its course. So, you know, we're trying to do the due diligence of getting everybody on the same page and at the same time make sure that people understand what the issues are. So those are my comments this morning. I think that Sue had notified us she was ill and not able to attend, so certainly wish for her speedy recovery. And Peter, your remarks?
I don't have a lot to say this morning. The only thing that I wanted to comment on was the importance of this intergovernmental agreement. I think it's really, you know, one of the things I said that early in this process when we had the two boards together sharing staff and administration was that when I left, I would like to make sure that that remained intact, and that because I think that it makes, you know, I mean, obviously the two boards could go their separate ways and have their, each have their separate staff. But the reality is that both of these boards have a responsibility for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and they need to work together. And there's so much overlap between what the two boards are responsible for. I mean, I think it makes fantastic sense to have the administration shared. I know, you know, when you get to the point where you're doing something like these agreements, there is a little extra stress, and it takes some work to kind of sort some things out. But I do think it's essential work, and I looked over what the executive committee has done. I had no involvement in what has transpired here, and I think it looks very good, and I think it, you know, and I would like to support what you're doing and support the concept of the two boards continuing this agreement.
Okay, thank you. Now it's time for staff reports. Lynn, can you summarize? I know there's plenty of things here, but I know you had some late additions as well.
Thank you. So there's a little bit of an update around Ebert Fest activities, but we can do that later because there's actually an update on the agenda. I wanted to add that the Legislative Committee of the State Association has been meeting once a week, and then we also talked during the quarterly meeting last month, or actually early March, and there was actually some debate around some of the things we wanted to support, and people were looking at documents from Equip for Equality and the ARC, and so we've incorporated a lot of those, and I have a short list of bills that are coming up this week if you're interested in filing witness slips. They actually come up today in two different hearings, and then there's a longer list of bills that will come up that we could, and I don't know if anybody's interested in doing that, so I could just provide the information to you afterwards. The filing witness slips is very, very easy once you register on the site to do it. It just takes a couple seconds. But making sure that you're supporting things you actually like is what takes a little longer. So I can give background information for that. Anyway, otherwise, I thought the staff report was pretty long. So I won't add.
Okay, thanks. Chandra?
I don't have any other additions except for one, and that is under presentations, is that there will be a Community Choices presentation in April, and we are setting that date. We actually met yesterday on additional development on their cultural competency training and planning. And so I will be meeting with them to set dates, and it may not be before the next meeting. And I know the next meeting agenda is going to be full, and so I just wanted to let you all be aware of that. That Community Choices, I did a consultation with them, and that they will have a training in April.
Okay, thank you. At this point, I'd like to go ahead and open it up for agency information. Do we have any agencies who'd like to report or share anything?
Is it on? It is on. Hi, I'm Lisa Benson from the Regional Planning Commission. I know in Lynn's report, she had reported that there was going to be a PUNS poll. We have received notification that 14 individuals will be pulled from Champaign County. The formal notification will not go out immediately. We're currently communicating with the state about their status and addresses and such. So did want to report that we know that 14 individuals from Champaign County have been identified.
I would just remind everybody that 14 is a very small number, in case that's not obvious.
Lisa, could I just ask one question about that? You can just stay there. I just am wondering, you said those individuals have been identified, right? I just wanted to make sure that, yeah, specific people, okay.
Okay, Pace, Dylan.
Good morning. Dylan Boot from Pace.
I just wanted to share a piece of unfortunate news.
I just wanted to share a piece of unfortunate news.
Princess Andrews got back on its 7 hours.
Pace has had to cut back on its staffing and hours.
Due to the budget cuts that we are all facing.
Due to the budget cuts that we are all facing.
So just as a point of information for consumers and for the board, we've had to do furloughs and be closed for 2 days a month. So the second, fourth Fridays, we will not be open for consumers. So right now with the budget impasse, you know, we're working on getting through the fiscal year, and we're going to concentrate on, you know, 2017. So just wanted to give that point of information. Any questions? Or thank you.
Okay, other agencies. All right, let's move on to new business. Our first item is integration transition successes, and we'd love to hear from anybody who's got anything to report.
Good
Jennifer Knapp from, did you skip something?
We'll go back. It's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices. Happy to report that we have somebody who we've just gotten a job for in Rantoul, which is always a little bit of a challenge. So that's exciting. It's where he lives, and it's at Walmart, which is a good starter place. It's his first job, so just wanted to report that. The other thing, too, is that we had an event with the Up Center. Last weekend in front of Cafe Cope, we did a living room where people just walked by and kind of got to know each other and did a community building event. So that's a budding partnership as well.
Okay, others, we'll go ahead and, as they pointed out, my eyes jumped a notch, but we'll finish this, we'll finish 12A before we go back. Anybody else have anything to report? Okay, somebody will slap my hand for violating the agenda. But let's go back to number 11, the financial report and the approval of claims. The claims are in the packet, and we need a motion to approve.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All right, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Okay, sorry. So we're back to 12B now. There is information in the packet about some of the requests for funding. Lynn and Peter, do you have any comments? Can you kind of summarize a little bit for us?
Two of them are marked M, and those are multi-year contracts. So they were required to resubmit all the application forms, but they're not required to be considered. They're already approved for FY17. That was one of the decisions that you made last year, to do some multi-year contracts. The ones that are marked N are new programs. And we just put all the requests in one column, because this year we asked the agencies to apply just to one board. That's technically on the system, they can apply just to one board, and then decisions about which board will fund which contracts can come later. So everything is combined in the FY17 request column, but you can see currently which board is funding which contract on the FY16. Anyway, were you looking for a different type of comment than that?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Peter, did you have anything to add?
Well, the only thing I would add is that we are starting the process of doing the analysis of the applications, and we will use the criteria that this board approved back in November, and try to fit that information, or try to do it through that lens anyway. The other thing is, I believe Chandra has a format, and we will have an expanded cultural and linguistic competence component to the summaries this year. Did you want to say anything about that, Chandra, at this point? Maybe you already have.
Oh, I think I had mentioned it in the first part of my report, but I've expanded to be more qualitative in the information versus attaching the actual cultural competency plan to the actual program summary. And so I wanted to begin giving you all more information, and then after we have funding decisions, then I will actually present the plans for the funded agencies to you all so that you can actually have them.
Okay, one other thing I wanted to point out, because we had a little bit of budget input. Looking at page 44 in your package, if you look very carefully at these really tiny numbers, at the bottom of the program year 16, the total number is $3.15 million. The projected amount that we'll have to award for the coming year is, so far, it's a little bit premature, but I wanted just to get it in front of people so they know about it, is about $3.27 million. So we're a little bit higher, but obviously we're well under that $4.1 million. So just to give a little bit of a perspective on the tasks that we have ahead to get through this.
And the mental health board has a little bit more money.
Right, and you see that portion from the mental health board, which will be close to that amount, slightly higher. So, you know, we do have a little bit more money to spend, but we definitely have a number of new requests that exceed our capabilities. So we'll have to work on that. Questions, discussion? Okay, I'm trying to make sure I'm going in the right order here. Old business, intergovernmental agreement. There is a version in your packets. We had asked fairly soon after our last meeting for inputs and edits from the members. I've taken many of those into account. A few of them came in right after this packet went out, of course. That's a Murphy's Law thing. And some of them have been reflected in an updated version that I handed out to people when they came in this morning. Basically, it changes two things from what you have in your packet. The first one is that in most of the places where it refers to action of both boards, it has been rewritten to say action of each board to make sure that it's clear that both didn't somehow mean combined. The other change is to paragraph 5. A sentence has been added requiring the presidents to report on the discussion and any actions taken at their president's meeting at regular meetings of each of the boards. You know, as I introduced during my own talk, the idea is to keep this relatively simple and clean, and then we'll put, if need be, we can put details of a search into a separate document as is called out here in paragraph 4A, okay, where it says, if necessary, a separate document delineating the search process shall be developed and agreed upon by each board. So at this point, well, let's get it on the table and then we can have some discussion, okay? So I need a motion to get this on the table for action.
I'll move that we move to approve. Is that what you're looking for? Mm-hmm. I move to approve the document as you have amended today.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion. And Gary, your hand was up, please.
It was a late night last night, and I really didn't want to come in. But y'all did receive an email from me, I hope, yesterday concerning my review, as Astrid Bergson asked me to review this. And so I came in this morning to make sure we can read my comments at least into the record. And I will go through that email again. And some of these may sound a little nitpicky, but they're actually quite important, at least to me. Under the last whereas, under witnesses, this is the beginning of it. It shows up in page 46 of the packet. It says, the parties agree sharing administrative structure will reduce administrative cost. That's an opinion. And I hope in the coming year you, in fact, as a board, will investigate to see if this is actually fact. And until then, I strongly suggest that you change will to should. Again, will's an opinion. It's not substantiated. And I think you, as a board, may wish to investigate to make sure this is, in fact, a fact. Under Section 4B, I suggest adding a sentence. The appointed search committee shall not exceed 9 members. As it is now, it could be a vast number of members if you so choose. With at least one member of the search committee being a member of the Champaign County Board as appointed by the then chair of the Champaign County Board. Now, obviously, it would make sense, perfect sense, that you would include the mental health representative, who is actually a member of the Champaign County Board and actually a voting member of the mental health board, and that person is duly appointed by the chair of the board. So it makes sense to have that person on there, but I think it should be spelled out that there will be. The nicest thing about the, each board could in fact appoint 4 members if you choose to do that to the search committee, and you would have 1 from the county board. That would make a tiebreaker if you needed one. Under 4D, ultimately at least 2 finalists for the shared executive director position will be determined by a majority of the vote of the search committee and forward to the 2 board presidents. Now, I suggested changing further then. The 2 board presidents shall forward the names of all finalists determined by the search committee to the 2 boards for consideration. As it is written now, 1 person can veto the work of the search committee, and that would be 1 board president. And I suggest that you don't do that. I suggest that you just forward it, the 2 presidents forward that information to the boards for their action. Item 4E, if you do make that change, then I would say that section 4E needs to be changed a little bit. If within 45 days of the planned time of completion of the search from the schedule in Part C above, the search committee is unable to come to a decision about finalists, then the 2 boards may elect to extend and then et cetera, therefore. So that basically corrects if you decide to take the 2 boards out of being the veto back in Part 4. And 5, I very strongly recommend this. Both these boards need to be as open and transparent as they can be in the future. Now, I understand that the Open Meetings Act would not require you to have a meeting, open meetings, and to comply with the Open Meetings Act with just the 2, the executive director and the 2 board presidents. But I strongly recommend that you duly advertise these meetings and that you do make them subject to the Open Meetings Act. It will improve your credibility with the community, it will improve transparency, and I think it will make your work a little easier in the future. Those are my comments, and I appreciate the time that you allowed me to speak towards those, and thank you all.
Thanks, Gary. I wish you and I had had a chance to have the discussion, and perhaps we will at some point, but I do want to do this formally. Do we have a board member who is willing to offer those as an amendment? I'm not hearing any. Okay. If the board will allow me, I would like to comment a little bit because I want to make sure that we understand that the spirit of those remarks actually is engaged here. I think the first point is very well taken, and indeed the premise of the agreement is that this is supposed to have a benefit, and I think it is incumbent on us as this progresses to demonstrate that. So at the same time, I do think that there is that premise, and I personally would like to leave the will in there because I think that we need to set a stake in the ground and guarantee that that actually is going to happen. That it's not just a matter of opinion, but the point is very well taken, and I think we do need to hold this agreement against some level of accountability. I would like to indicate that in 4B, the search committee does need the advice and consent of the 2 boards, and indeed if the 2 boards want those kinds of constraints, and expectations, I think that they're free to do that within the wording of this agreement. I'd like to, as I mentioned earlier, I want to keep the agreement as simple as possible and put the onus on the boards if they want to add additional conditions, which of course they're entitled to do. And I think the other one, because there were a number of questions about this on 4D in terms of a stated quote-unquote veto, certainly, I want to make sure that the search committee has strong incentive to come back with 2 candidates and not with a large slate. And if they do come back with two, then the two presidents, of course, are not entitled to make any changes to that. If the search committee, on the other hand, is perhaps more indecisive and comes back with a long list, then I personally think it would be to our benefit to allow the two presidents to have a voice in between there. It certainly says that they have to forward at least two final candidates, and obviously they can do more if there are good candidates. So I think that's there for the board's benefit and is kind of a check and balance on the search committee. And I hope that it encourages the search committee to go ahead and look for two. The other one, I understand very much the point in five, and we've tried to address that by requiring the presidents to report. Imposing the Open Meetings Act on the two presidents will have some very serious unintended consequences. Basically, it has the effect of now cutting off that communication channel between the two boards, because the two presidents will not be able to exchange email or telephone calls or indeed any other communication related to the meeting of the two boards without the public notice and all the rest of it. And I think that's very much to the detriment of our long-term operation. I do think that there needs to be a requirement for this meeting to report back, and we've added that in. So there's some really good input here, but I think we need to keep in mind some of the other aspects. So again, you know, I appreciate being allowed to speak on this, but let's keep the agreement fairly straightforward and see if we can come to mutual agreement on it. Any other comments?
Just one comment. Gary, you imply that this board doesn't have good credibility, or the mental health board doesn't have good credibility. I really challenge that. I think both of these boards are well thought of in this community. And basically, I can't think of one time anybody has come before this board or the county board and challenged the credibility of either one of these boards. So I really resent that kind of implication.
Just a second, Carrie. I don't want to go there. I think it's well-intended, and I appreciate the input. I think it's quite valid. And indeed, I do think that the president should be reporting back their activities in action. I think it is important to keep the process as open as possible. We've got to avoid those weird, unintended consequences that jump in pretty quick. Any other board members want to speak on this issue, please?
I think whenever you have difficulties between two boards that are trying to affect a change in some way, it takes the energy that you have away from what you need to do. I like the idea of keeping the intergovernmental agreement as simple as possible. I trust that everyone on the board wants the best to happen for anyone that we are giving money to so that they can do the jobs they need to do. I also feel that in order for this intergovernmental agreement to pass both boards, we have to have some agreement here, and I think it's easier to agree to something that is simplistic in nature as opposed to putting little things in that may very well have very good intentions, but may in fact cause more contention. And that's one thing I think we need to actually stay away from as much as possible. I have witnessed in the years that I've been on this board, I have witnessed a change in how we discuss things. And I'm not saying that that's bad or that's good. It's just that the main purpose of our board is to actually do what is in the best interests of the people that we serve. So rather than go the route of putting minute things in that might be able to cause some contention, keeping it simplistic is really good. And I like your idea, too, where if we are going to talk about some of these things, it should not be as part of the intergovernmental agreement. It should be board and board. I think keeping the two presidents apart in some way is really not a good idea. I think that anyone who looks at communication and how we're supposed to communicate with one another would actually agree with that, that communication won't be open, and we need for it to be open. And those are just my feelings about it.
All right, any other comments from board members? Discussion?
I think the heart of what we do is in this document that we're talking about today. Why we serve is to provide the best possible way to serve the clients of Champaign County. And it isn't about making people outside of that group happy. It's about serving clients. It's about getting the dollars that come from the citizens of the county in the best possible way. I get troubled whenever I think that we're starting to spend our time and our efforts in some other direction. And I know we have to be aware of the world and how things operate and how they operate in our small little community. But what we're trying to do here with this is just make sure that two boards can serve their clients with one set of administrative people, one group to serve each one. And I know that this document must have a part of it that talks about replacing you. It can't be a document like that without it. But for this document to be so detailed that it tries to tell us how we're going to go about that, I think is wrong. I think we don't want to get that specific in the document. I like it this way. I think you have good ideas, Gary, but I don't think this is the place for us to say who's going to be on that committee, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. And I certainly would not be in favor of any county board members that are not members of either specific board being on that committee. We need the separation. As two boards that serve clients, we need separation from politics. We can't be influenced by who's a Democrat, who's a Republican, who's a conservative, who's a liberal. That's not what we're about. We're about placing the dollars that come under our, I'll call it fiduciary responsibility, in the best possible place. I think that's it for me.
I just want to thank Mike and Joyce for their comments. I agree with both of you. The word that comes to mind when I think about adding minutia and detail to this simple agreement is hamstrung. And I can see that if we keep doing that, we become hamstrung where no action can be taken. And I also agree that it's important that members of the steering committee be people who are involved in the work we're trying to do and have an understanding of the issues, and that's all that's important.
Now, of course, one significant consideration is that whatever we pass isn't valid until the Mental Health Board can agree on exactly the same document, and that's not a trivial point. And in that spirit, we've tried to come up with something that's, you know, maybe more than just the least common denominator, but something that we can agree on. Sue, do you have any comments? Would you like to add anything?
I've had individual conversations with some of the Mental Health Board members, most of the Mental Health Board members,
And in general, they're very positive about the agreement. I will say that, you know, a common issue was agreeing that it was the majority of each board versus the total. Several members raised concerns about the role of the presidents between the search committee and the board. Their interpretation was that the presidents could veto rather than that the presidents would facilitate a reasonable number of candidates being forwarded. And so I think that goes back to an issue of trust, but it's a significant issue for a couple of the board members. One possible way to work around that would be to have the search committee propose candidates to the presidents and then the presidents to simply forward those candidates to the individual boards, putting the onus on the search committee not to forward 9 names, to actually get it down to a couple of names. So I have a concern that there will be discussion on the mental health board, not a concern, I'm sure there will be discussion on the mental health board about the role of the two presidents. And then the other issue that came up was whether or not the two presidents would be members of the search committee, because then it would be redundant. So clarifying the role of the presidents seemed to be an important issue. And again, I think people really liked the agreement. They didn't want the search to be detailed extensively, but that was a red flag, the two presidents, that came up in several conversations.
Okay, well, let me, for the record, let me read in that based on 4B about the appointments of the search committee, I absolutely don't intend to appoint myself or Deb Townsend to the search committee, so I'll say that publicly. Certainly understand the issues with the sentence in 4D, which has been brought up by multiple people in the mental health board, and as Gary mentioned, and the corresponding three words in 4E. And I would like to ask our board, because we've got to reach mutual agreement, you know, we're free to either pass what we have in front of us, make those changes now, or if you're willing to provide some authority to make those changes if they are needed to reach agreement with the mental health board, then that's fine as well. So what's the sense of our board, please? My question is, the last sentence in 4D and the three words "and the two presidents" in 4E, in some sense, some of the members of the Mental Health Board are asking that those be struck. And my question to you is, do we want to strike those now? Do we want to proceed with what we have? If we don't want to strike those now, are we willing to provide some degree of authority for negotiation so that if the mental health board really is pushing on that, that we know where we stand? So I don't know whether that's clear, but that's what I'm talking about, that one sentence and the three words.
If I could just add, I think that what Phil has just said, taking out the two presidents, will remove substantial concern from certain members on the mental health board. If we end up with two interagency agreements or intergovernmental agreements that are slightly different, then we're going to have to merge the two somehow. And frankly, I'd rather not spend yet another meeting merging the documents. So I think if there is trust that the search committee will do a good job and not submit 9 names so that someone has to winnow it down to 2. We don't really need to give the presidents the additional authority in 4D and 4E. And you could take that out.
Maybe there's some obvious reason for this that I missed, but is there any reason that the intergovernmental agreement could not just say no more than four people could be forwarded by the search committee or something like that, just to alleviate the concern that they forward too many names?
Well, that's another alternative to make it say at least two and not more than four in the first sentence, and then strike the second sentence and so forth. But I think we're getting a little bit detailed. But Mike,
I think I have a concern about that particular direction in that when the search committee does their work, if they find an outstanding candidate, the guy, the gal, the person, I'm sorry, excuse me, why should two names have to come forward?
Maybe it should just be one.
I don't mind that we want to guard against nine names coming forward, but I don't think that's what a committee's going to work toward. I think they're going to be working toward one, and I think the only reason you're going to get two is if that committee can't decide on one. And I don't think I want any limitation on how many, or that there has to be at least two. I think it should be three to be what the committee determines. I'm a little bit concerned when you take the two presidents out of this that you're going to end up with the presidents not being part of the committee and not being part of the process that it comes from the committee to the boards. And, you know, we are all volunteers, and when someone decides that they're willing to take the responsibility to be the president of this board and the president of the mental health board, I cannot foresee why you would eliminate those people from something as important as determining who's going to be our executive director. Now, I don't, words are words, and they do all kinds of things, but when you put them on a document like this, they become gospel. And so if you take presidents out of this in every way, we may lose the resource of two of our most valuable people in the two boards and not be in the process. And I don't think that would be appropriate. So I guess I'm searching as to how you would go about this if the presidents are not included in the committee and they're not included in between the committee and the boards, then you just eliminated them from being part of this.
Sue?
It wasn't clear when I was meeting or having phone conversations with individual board members what the role of the presidents was, because it doesn't say that they're not involved in the search committee. And for better or for worse, when we first talked about a search last month in the mental health board, we talked about the president being part of the search. So it's the fact that the document doesn't specify that the president's not in the search and that the president then plays another role. Many of the individuals I spoke to were concerned that the president was on the search and then had veto power. And it really isn't veto power, but that's the tact that they took in having the board go to the presidents, the search committee go to the presidents, and the presidents go to the board. So I think maybe we need to clarify the role of the presidents, that the presidents are involved in appointing the search committee but not serving on it. I'm still not sure that will take care of the issue. I think the concern was, why do you have a search committee and then give it to the presidents who might change the recommendation of the search committee? And that was the crux of the conversation. I couldn't respond to them except to say, well, we'll talk about it. But
I can see no reason why the committee, whether there's a president on it or not, can't make the recommendation directly to the boards.
Why can't we go straight to the board?
Yeah,
yes.
It seems to me that you solve that simply by saying you don't eliminate the presidents from being on the committee, but you don't put them between the committee and the and the board. So I will support whatever language says that.
Okay. Well, it's horrible to wordsmith these things on the fly, and you can see where this has been coming from for the last several months. you know, these little things really, really come at you. But what I am hearing is, and I'm going to word it, and then I'm going to let one of you offer it, okay? These are Bob's rules, not quite Robert's rules, I guess. Ultimately, finalists for the shared executive director position will be determined by majority vote of the search committee and forwarded to the two boards. That's 4D.
Can I change what it, I'd like that to be changed to those words.
Yes. Just like you said. And okay, because I want it in the same amendment. In 4E, we strike the words "and the two presidents," as Gary pointed out.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you think that will?
I think that will alleviate 99% of the concern.
And the question that was just raised about the board's approving, of course, the that's in 4F already. So we're clear on that. Okay, so that has been offered as an amendment. Is there a second? It looks like Joyce is seconding. Okay. Any more discussion? Hang on. We're going to do this. We are going to do this correctly. Any more discussion about the amendment?
Just one question. So then are the presidents allowed or capable of serving on the search committee then?
That is up to, you know, per item 4B, that's between the boards and the presidents. If the presidents really want to appoint themselves, and it's not going to happen,
okay.
then the boards would have to consent to that.
Okay.
Well, why would you want a president that would run from such a job?
More on that later. Okay, I think we're done discussing the amendment. So at this point, I'd like to take a vote on the amendment. Okay, so those in favor of the amendment as stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, we'll do the overall agreement with a roll call vote for sure. Okay, so at this point, the amended agreement is on the table. Okay, and I believe we had plenty of discussion, and I'd like to go ahead and call the question, and we do want a roll call for that, please. This is the amended intergovernmental agreement from this board.
Joyce Still?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Mike Smith?
Yes.
Phil Krine?
Yes. All right. Thank you. I'm hoping this is not just the beginning of the process. But we'll see what happens with the mental health board next week. All right, we're pushing our time a bit. Item 13B, Employment First update. Do we have any updates? Great. Thanks for your patience.
Good morning, Annette Becker, DSC. We're really excited about the momentum that the LEAP certification process has been gaining. Businesses are calling us to inquire about how to be certified. To this date, we have 9 businesses that have been certified. 6 are on the calendar between now and the end of April. We've contacted 60 businesses, and some of them want us to wait for several months because of the ebb and flow of their business. Michelle Petty and Jamie from Community Choices have appeared on CI Living. They have been interviewed by the News Gazette, and as soon as the excitement about Lovey Smith and the primaries is over, that will be in the newspaper. We've been on the WAND website. We have gotten they call it a shout out from the National APSE website. So again, the momentum just keeps picking up, and I think that's it.
Thank you. obviously, step one in employment first is get employers who understand these folks and are and have interest, and that's progressing really in an excellent way. It's great to see it. Scylla update?
Well, we've been keeping in touch with IAG. They're on the verge of opening the second house. The people are all lined up. I think there are some staffing issues that they're still working on. That's a huge problem. And there are several other people that are sort of lined up for another Scylla if we were to do one. But, you know, until the second one gets going, I don't see that we're doing anything at this point. We'll keep you posted as soon as, you know.
You know, I did want to add one more thing that I had raised several months ago, but I want to emphasize. I think it's a little bit optimistic, but I do think that our investment in these Scyllas has had some broader impact. I've actually, in the last 3 weeks, have had conversations with three different families who are trying to figure out their own capabilities for housing and whether they can do some kind of public-private partnership. And they're not looking at our board to back them up, but they're trying to learn from these experiences in terms of what they could set up. So, you know, the need is obviously much greater than this board and the mental health board between them can ever provide. But if there are ways that we can get into that learning process and help people understand how to do this more effectively, I think that'll, and bring the providers in, of course, I think that's going to have some significant broader impact. Update on the Alliance and the Eberfest activities. You have anything for us, Lynn, or all in the package?
You have lots of materials, but there's a kind of cool update that I got yesterday. We're at the point where we can start talking about the panel discussions that happen at the Illini Union, and that's a neat thing because it's an audience that this work probably doesn't reach. Typically, it can be lots of U of I students and other academics who maybe have personal interest in these issues, but not a burning need to be involved. So we have, for the last few years, had a panel discussion on challenging stigma through the arts, and board members have been involved, and community members, some agency representatives as well. So we're starting to talk about the panel, and our panel will be on Thursday the 14th at 9 a.m. at the Illini Union. But then I learned what the other panel discussions are going to be, and they're really cool. Right after ours is one titled Creating Empathy on the Big Screen. And already one of our panelists wants to be on that one too, because he does empathy training at Parkland for years and years. Then on Friday, there's a panel at 9 o'clock on women in film, and then at 10:15 on diversity in Hollywood, a big issue this year. So I thought this was we could just be involved in all of that this year. I wanted to share that agenda with you. Otherwise, there's lots of updates in the packet.
Also, I just wanted to let you know that thanks to everyone that helped participate in our film, The 62nd. We are almost completed with that.
Yes.
And so thank you all so much for everything. I think we finally got a good product.
That's great. I know the time is short, but I'm hearing two things. I wonder if we can get one of our LEAP businesses or somebody like that to sit with a panel and talk about the whole stigma and employment issue and kind of begin bringing these things together. Probably some of you saw that article in Parade Magazine in the Sunday paper a couple of weeks ago about the company in Hollywood that's hiring people with developmental disabilities to do animation work. Okay, Expo update?
Barb is not here, right? I guess.
We're 6 months out, right?
Yeah, she sent me an email with what she would say, so I hope I can say it. Still scheduled for October 15th, Fluid Event Center, as in previous years. There's also a wine tasting event scheduled for Thursday, June 9th, I believe at 6 o'clock, something like that, at the Art Mart, the new Art Mart. And She's starting to call meetings of the sponsorship and marketing committee because they sort of need to get some money together first, and then the steering committee will start meeting after that.
All right. Our meeting schedule is in the package. Please note that our April meeting is 1 week off of the schedule for a number of conflicting reasons. I do want to point out that the Mental Health Board meeting is not today, it's next week. I'm gonna be out of town, so I'm gonna have to deputize somebody because we gotta get this agreement done. Any board announcements, any information from our board or others at this point? Okay, hearing none, we'll take a motion to adjourn. Waiting for a second. I heard a second. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned.